sabor a la tristeza, y otra más dulce no la podrás encontrar. Hoy en el sol te vas a sentir feliz, hoy en el sol te vas a sentir feliz.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol. The following program is brought to you by Carol Cox. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KWAI staff and management.
Hey, good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Another day here in Hawaii. I have some good things we'll be talking about today, and it's going to be Kapalama campus at Kamehameha. As some of you may have seen in the news that there was on KGMB, Hawaii News Now, there was a story done on the actual discovery or disclosure that there was a landfill up there. And while that might sound, and we say illegal dumping, the response from the upper management of there, and I haven't spoken with them directly, and we will be in hopes of looking to speak with Ms. Wendy Cook and Mr. Don Kavikakui, or the name, I'll get it right here in a minute, but Kavahakui. And we're going to want to ask them, because this location of this dump is quite unnerving and quite concerning in that its location, and it is at Kamehameha Schools on the grounds, and there's drinking water wells there that this landfill is situated between. So what we're going to do is figure out what are they going to do about it. And I have a guest here who's... if you saw the story, you would also know that he is Mr. Ronald King, and he is a former employee of the Kamehameha Schools at Kapalama, and we're going to be talking with him, and we'll talk for some while, and many other issues, not just that, and there's some concerns, or we've gotten reports in this process of inquiring about the landfill, the illegal landfill or the unauthorized landfill. We've learned that there are some concerns with workers up there that might be displaced because the claim is by some of the workers that there is a concern that the jobs are being farmed out to a private company called Flick Compass Group. But anyway, we'll talk about all of that if we get the time, and if you have any questions or comments. I note that someone is desperately calling in, so either you know you want to talk about something different, or you know reading our minds what we can talk, we're going to talk about. So just be patient. I can't entertain a call right now when I don't even know what I'm going to say. So, you know, if you're so inclined to be so hurriedly calling, give me a call and we can set you up with a radio show and get you to introduce you to management. But anyway, Ron, thank you for coming in and joining me, and I'm looking forward to this conversation.
Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, this is, I got Go ahead, let's hear your voice.
Thank you for inviting me and hello everyone and listeners. I just wanted to explain right up front that I'm not standing up to get the managers, corporate system way up there. I'm standing on one premise, and it's an ancient Hawaiian value called Malama Aina, to take care of the land. It's a sacred thing to take care of the land. Mary Kavena Pukui and Samuel H. Albert defined the word Kapa Lama, and it was the Lama Wood enclosure. The high chiefs were protected here. I believe that because there's been many burial caves that were uncovered, then we had to reinter the Ivi. And I personally made several like baby coffins to put all the bones inside, and then they were reinterred into these caves and sealed up by the Masons. And there's a lot of them all over that campus, especially in the cliffs. Okay, to me it's a sacred place up there. It always has been, and the teachers, they taught me. They taught me where I was working at and how important it was, and that's always stuck with me. Then the best thing they ever did to me was give me lessons in Hawaiian 101. But it was very valuable to me. Okay, going back to you, Carol.
So, this we got a call that there was this activity up there, and it was this landfill. The reported by a number of people, and let me back up. I also note that a lot of the comments on the KGMB, a Hawaii News Now website, the story, you know, the comments that people, a lot of people took offense to the fact that such a disclosure was made that there was an illegal, and start to frown and attack the messenger. And the reality is, Malama Ka'aina, Okai Kai Aina, what would bring anyone to be critical of someone reporting something that is detrimental to the environment, to the wealth of the people, to the health of the people? And in this situation, and now let's establish something. They said it was just a stockyard. How long have you, let's lay that foundation, as an individual employee worker having worked there, how long have you known or witnessed this landfill to be in place?
19 years.
Mm-hmm.
We used to have another landfill, which is below the stadium. And when they built that new stadium, they had to fill in about 100 feet of soil and rocks and all this. Before they could do that, the contractor couldn't guarantee his compaction tests. All the organic material had to be hauled out of there, put on the rotary grinder and ground up, and they hauled it all out. There were houses down there, a bus barn, paint shop, all kinds of things down there. But now it's all covered up. Now they had to find a new place to get rid of the tons of organic matter that they cut down every day up on campus, pruning mm-hmm. trees, all this and that. So they started this new landfill, which is above the water tanks.
Mm-hmm.
And at first it began innocently, where we'll just stack it up over here and blah, blah. And they did that, but then when it got bigger and bigger, it was like a growing monster. Then they started pushing it over the edge, the pali, and down below there's a riverbed. This riverbed flows during the rainy season. I've seen this riverbed be as high as 15 feet, and it would become a raging torrent running through there. So I told the superintendent, all these logs and things are going to get trapped down below. The water pressure will build up besides this dam that you guys created, and it's going to wipe out houses downstream. And then what they, well, they told me, okay, we're just going to keep monitoring it and we'll move it up. This is the old administration. And then we'll keep moving the dump up, up, up as it fills up. But it only stayed in one place. there was a time when, paint, soap from washing the buses got into that drainage system. It went down the canals all the way down to Kapalama, to the ocean. And then it polluted the whole place. Paint on the walls, all this stuff. They had me go down, and I remember this because I broke my aunt cleaning it up. I had to scrub the walls under these culverts that the traffic passed over. I had to chop down the trees that were growing in the bottom of the, so as not to create obstructions. Clean that all out. Clean out all the weeds as best as I could. And I wasn't the only guy doing this. I don't remember who was helping me. But it was more than just me.
Mm-hmm.
This thing has been controversial. And, you know, you got to take care of the land. You can't just turn your back and keep dumping stuff like that. Anybody knows that. So, and then I brought it up about the damming up of this waterway. But that superintendent, he moved on. I think he retired.
Mm-hmm.
And then the old grounds guy, they chased him out. He was head of grounds. He was really diligent on things like this. But he soon left. Pretty soon that dump was growing like the green monster, which it is today.
Mm-hmm. Now, was it that high? Because when we look at the pictures and see, it seems to be level with the road, but has it been that level, and did anybody bring in dirt to pollen to cover it up, to balance it? And then also, what is some of the things over the years you've witnessed being dumped in there or being placed at this area called the landfill? We'll refer to it as the landfill.
I've witnessed refrigerators going off over the side, and those refrigerators have Freon in them, auto parts, some building products like wood, concrete, Cortez cylinders. And then we used to, at the beginning of where you entrance that dump site out by the road, they used to stack them up there, put all the, and the plumbers used to take the Freon out, and then go stack up all those appliances out there. One day I noticed they were all gone. And I was thinking, where did they go? Because, you see, it costs money for them to dump things in Waimanalo landfill and stuff like that. And right now, what it seems to be is that money is the most important thing, most important issue. As far as the covering of all this stuff, it has grown about 1 foot higher than it used to be, what I remember it. Before, when you entered this dump, the earth would go down towards the cliff.
Right.
But now it's all filled up to the top, and then some. Maybe it's 6 inches higher than the road. That's because of the dirt that they've put down, tried to hide. And I remember all the logs that they saved for me that was to the left of the dump site. They're all gone. I don't know how many hundred board feet of logs were up there, but there were plenty.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're all gone. They threw them over the side. That's all that's to it.
And now these logs that you were having stored, there were some coir and some albizia, and what were they? Were you using them for? Aliyah boards?
No. This is I told the superintendent if I could have them, and then his grounds person, who has since passed away, said, "Okay, you stack them over here." The species of logs that were stacked up there was mango, Cuban mahogany, no albizia at that time, mm-hmm. What do you call that, rainbow eucalyptus, or Mindanao gum tree, and even some llama wood, which is, I didn't know what that was until the end of my career up there, because they kept it a secret not to tell anybody what llama wood looks like, and what's that name, sandalwood, iliahi. They made it a point, and I understand that, not telling the employees what the iliahi looks like, because it's extinct. That's the one that Boki filled up all those pits at, to the size of the hull of the hold of the ships. Mm-hmm. He filled them up, I don't know how many times, five times, and then they gave him a horse and carriage. He just wanted to keep up with the Joneses, I guess. He sold out his people of Waianae. They let the lo'i go. They were starting to starve, all because he wanted the horse and carriage. But that's a different story.
Sounds like we changed horses in the middle of the stream there. But this wood, you were using it to teach the children, or in projects, and the ILEA boards, surfboards?
Okay. Only now, the Kumu, who does this arts and crafts and fine woodworking, is going to build the Alai board, with some of this koa wood that they just brought up there. But prior to that, they hired me to cut giant slabs 4-inch thick, as wide as possible, maybe 24 inches wide, 4-inch thick by 24 inch wide, and they would make, I still can't pronounce the name, Kui Papa'ai, a Poi Pounder board, mm-hmm. and then the kids would get these ads, which they made themselves, and shaped them to pound poi.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'd even, they even taught them how to make the Poi Pounder stones. And that's what the project was for a couple of years, and that's what I was cutting.
Okay.
And I delivered a lot of this boards to Nanakuli, of course, up at Kapalama campus, and other places too. They hired me to saw the wood. I've got a sawmill, and that's what I did. And that's what I'm still doing, hopefully,
mm-hmm. for them. Do you fear there is retaliation for you speaking out here? And I can say to you that if you do detect that, please let us know. It's not that we can do a whole lot, but we sure can expose them for being irrational.
Yeah,
it is their responsibility for these actions, not yours.
Yes, they've already been stupid, and I hope they don't become more stupid by doing that. You know, this Whistleblower Protection Act and all that. Don't even do that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want you to cut off my pension. I don't want you to ban me from campus when I got work to do for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
This can become even messier than it is now, I promise you.
Do you think that management, what you've heard so far, they could do it a little different and own up to it? Or do you think they will even come to owning up to it and doing what's right? Because whether they agree that it's there or acknowledge that it's there, we know that it's there, and we know the potentials and the harm that it causes that we can see right now. But if it collapses or sloughs down the mountainside and build up, that water got to go somewhere. It'll serve as a dam down below.
Absolutely.
And not only that, the Clean Water Act, that, like you talk about the refrigerators being dumped there, car parts, auto parts, and what we saw there, I had concerns with roofing materials, and we all know that old type of roofing materials has mastic, which is considered a ACM, asbestos-containing materials, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
So, you know, all of that, and who would place that material up high above the students, the dormitories, and the classrooms, and all of that, and the community, surrounding community, and have this blowing around, and it's situated between two drinking water wells, and what the public may have heard is that there are some wells up there. Well, yes, there are, but they're not just wells. They are wells that that the school relies on for drinking water.
Yes.
Not the Department of Water, what's the Board of Water Supply, yeah, Honolulu. This is private wells, and we did, in fact, obtain from the Safe Drinking Water Office in the state some samples and some reports that they had reported for the wells. And one of the responses was that we don't show any chemicals in the wells, in the water. Well, here's the problem. If you're first not acknowledging or admitting that you have an illegal dump with a variety of chemicals and toxins and hazardous materials being dumped up there, you would never be able to test for them because you don't know what's in the ground that may be leaching out. So you would never test for chlordane, dildrin, aldrin, and those things because you're not admitting that there's a landfill there. You're not admitting that truckers from abroad or outside of the property may have brought things in because it was so loosely operated. And where did that dirt come from? You have no record, per se. You haven't shown anything. Maybe they do, and if they do, I would like to see those records.
Yeah. Well, I don't have those records, but what I was going to say was, I talked to the drillers when they were drilling, because I was curious. They were drilling down through the rock, and then they first hit their first aquifer, which was down 500 feet. Now, I wasn't the first one. This is the third one, because the first two wouldn't maintain pressure. Then they hit the third one, and that had sufficient pressure where they could pump it out and into the 1.5 million gallon water tank or whatever it is.
Reservoir.
They're huge tanks. I also, I know this. They say from our rainfall in the watershed areas of our mountain ranges, it takes about 20 years for the water to filter down into our aquifers, which we tap out of, where we get all our drinking water without treating it. It takes about 20 years. And by the time it gets down there, that water is purified because it's going through its own lava filtration system, through pumice and all this. Clean stuff. man, this is a big problem that if there is these contaminants in that dump site, it even makes the thing worse, let alone plug up the stream. I don't know. I'm just ashamed of them. I don't think these people are Hawaiian. It's a corporate that controls the whole thing. It's incredibly ignorant.
Well, hopefully that they don't continue along that path. What I've seen so far, maybe they'll have a formal statement. But what I'm hearing from some of the workers is that some nonsense was being floated about in the early stages of this disclosure by myself and KGMB. It is that they discovered that it was a landfill there when they were removing a tree. And I tell you, I know Noah's Ark was pretty big, but this must have been one heck of a tree, man.
You're right.
But again...
Crazy. Yeah, there's trees up there, and I thought of once of harvesting them, but they got in the way. These trees are not gigantic.
Yeah,
they're at the most 16 inches in diameter. The ones that were over the side were taken from the lower campus. These are huge trees, over 24, 36 inches in diameter.
Right.
That's the ones that aren't there anymore.
And so imagine this area, I'm just estimating. This area, that surface area, I'm going to say approximately 2 acres in total width and length, but also the height. I'm looking at the height to be approximately 100 feet or more because there are some, looking down on the face of it, though there are trees that you can see that the berm is higher than the trees, and you're 1.5 times taller than the trees are.
Yeah. Pretty soon we're going to make the next the next pu'u on campus, a new mountain rising above the flatness.
A pu'u kalama, a pu'u kapalama.
Yeah.
Let's see if there's a caller here you want to...
Okay.
Caller, good morning. You have a comment, a question?
Yeah. I just joined the show. What are you talking about?
Pardon me?
I just joined the show right now. I haven't caught on to what you're talking about.
Okay, well, hang in there. We'll let you know. We're talking about the Kapalama campus of Kamehameha Schools. There's the dump site that was discovered and was...
you like that one, huh? I think we need to recycle dumps. Go dig them all up, all the landfills, process them back to a clean environment, and do it with blimps. But I'll listen if you keep me at home.
All righty. Okay, thank you. All right.
Yeah, the gondola or the blimps will, you know, do the recycling.
Right.
Would carry it. All right, so I'd like to listen, please.
Okay. All righty. Anyway, that was caller, if you had any questions, 524-1080. My guest is Mr. Ronald King. He is a former employee with the Kamehameha Schools, and they're on the Kapalama campus, and we're talking about a landfill, and the reason is there's many issues, and he has concerns that rather than acknowledging and admitting that such a landfill is there, he thinks that, and so do I, that if you own up to it, then it's a sort of an insurance policy that we're going to take responsibility, because knowing that it's there is one thing. Going back and addressing it is a completely different issue because there's cost involved. And what are they going to do to clean up, and how do they clean up? Do they take all the dirt? Because if they go and take the solids out, the boulders and the rocks and the refrigerators and the car parts and pipes and metals and what have you, that's fine. But you still have the silt, the dirt, that will serve just as a dangerous introduction as anything, because it will flow down the hill and continue to contaminate or make the waters turbid when they do flow, and depositing those in the stream and further downstream at the ocean. So it's a problem, silting. Ron?
Oh, yeah. now, I'll mention this. Yeah, it hurt me to the core when they deny about this dump. But the director, every year he has a emu up there, not quite way up there, but down below, a little lower down. And this emu, they kalua turkeys on massive amounts. Every year when they make the hali'i over the emu, this is banana stumps, banana leaves, tea leaves, all this stuff, after it's done, he has us haul it all away, and we dump it at the dump. And he knows where it's going because he pointed out where to dump it.
This is the current director of the operation.
Yeah.
Mr. Don Kavahakui.
Kavahakui. Now again, I'm not after him. I'm just standing up for this ancient Hawaiian practice of Malama Aina. Mm-hmm. If you don't take care of the land, it ain't going to take care of you. Going to get you in the end.
Yeah.
And I hope, I hope it doesn't become a liability to the corporation.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, there's a dump up there, and it's been being used. It's just stupid for denying it. Mm-hmm. Like grandpapa before him, even Abraham Lincoln, King Kamehameha, said, always tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, they don't see any value in that.
What do you think they're trying? Why not own up to it? Because it's not going to go away. And here's a couple of points that we hit on it a little bit. What's puzzling And I think it is about money, because the Kamehameha schools, I know in the past, now I don't know currently what is transpiring or what is, if there's been changes, but they were considered an eleemosynary. That's a term, eleemosynary, and they are on a list that gets to dump at the landfill and H-Power for free.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so clearly, I don't know what the, but over the years, I know that I actually got the green sheets identifying the nonprofits or eleemosynaries or churches and schools, private entities that were able to dump for free, waiver of tip fees. I don't understand what would be the motivation if the waiver of tipping fees have been exists and they've waived them. What part of the responsibility do they want to adopt? I mean, they don't want to afford the gas to drive the trucks and
that's
to pay
correct.
The men.
That's right.
Is it down to that? They just simply want to micromanage the money to that point at the interest of the environment?
Yeah, you got that right. Anything that goes up on that campus, they know about. Everything that goes down, they know about. Every department on that campus, and I heard this from a trustee, they're going to reorganize. I didn't understand why at the time, but to send a driver out with the truck, with the depreciation of those trucks, the driver, he's gone from campus, from his job, at least half a day before he mm-hmm. comes back and he can start his regular scheduled duties that he did before. Cost money for them to dump, to drive those trucks out to Kapolei. just trying to save a few pennies, you know.
Mm-hmm. But the long-term costs, and we're going to talk about the apologetic, slacking mindset of the state health department. Now, I filed a formal complaint against Kamehameha Schools on this matter with the health department, Solid and Hazardous Waste Branch. And once again, it's going to go into the cover-up mode because that's the Kamehameha Schools, and this is a state agency, and Gary Gill, as useless as he is, and the rest of them there, instead of just knowing, be aggressive on this thing. You don't need to worry about the friendship or the political aspect of the impact. Think about the environmental consequences that have occurred and that may reveal themselves or may be sicknesses and the threat to the community, surrounding homes, not just the school itself and the children, but the overall thing. But you don't get any excitement. Now, we asked to go back up there, back into the woods and looking around to see were denied. So I guess they think that by not allowing us up there and checking around, it is going to cause the public to lose its interest and go away. Caller, go ahead. You have a comment, a question?
Yeah, I just got in late. Was your guest, he worked there for 19 years, was he a supervising position or was he a laborer? And I wonder why he waited this long to report the illegal dump and illegal activities there. That's my question. I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
All righty.
I can answer that. It's only recently, and by the way, I was working up there for 24 years before I retired with a pension. And I was proud of my service to the schools. I was a carpenter. A lowly carpenter. That's all I do. And I, when they started outsourcing everybody, a little mouse whispered in my ear to bring this issue up because I was there the longest. There's all new people up there. The grounds, who's covering up the dump, they don't know any of this stuff that went on. I do, because I was there. And like I said in the beginning, Malama Aina, take care of the land. You don't take a shit in it upstream and don't give a heck. You don't care about the people downstream. That's not Pono. There's Hawaiian values. What are they teaching the kids by doing this? Then lying. And the whole thing about this dump, now they're trying to protect themselves. Oh, you know who they're going to blame? They're going to blame the workers. It's all their fault.
Mm-hmm. Well, Ed, if you listen, you can call back. The sophisticated listener says that I'll ask my question and I'll listen offline, but stay online sometime and be part of the. I mean, not just you, but when we call in and ask, this falls into the category of people ask the dumbest questions in the world, even though they have a right to ask any question, and that is, why you wait so long? Well, first of all, have you ever lost your job? Have you ever been threatened with losing your entire house and everything else that you worked for, and you're going to put yourself on the front line? And then let's say if I did put myself on the front line, what would the listener himself, is he going to run out there and demand that I be rewarded and given my job back? You know, I always find humor in that question. Well, why you wait so long? Well, first of all, why did such an organization behave in such a fashion? And why is it that the state health department didn't detect this landfill? These are the kinds of questions. But I guess in America here, we have learned to participate by striking out at the messenger. You waited too long. Now, I'm going to tell you, Ronald, don't you dare wait another one. Yeah. If you're holding out on us from here on out now, we don't give a damn if you lose your house or anything and become homeless. You better spit it out right now, brother. I love it. Yeah. Hold on here. Caller, good morning. Don't hold off on us now. Get to talking, because we don't want to lose your job. But tell us what you know.
Yeah. What my question was, unless somebody reports it to the authorities, what can the authorities do? Kapalama MF Schools is a tight organization.
Right, right.
Unless someone working there like this, your guest, would maybe surreptitiously call the health department. I'm sure he wasn't aware of the legality of illegal dumping and stuff. A lot of people in those positions are not aware of environmental contamination in the first place. They just go do their job and do what they're told. And that's my impression.
Right. Well, I think
unless the authorities are aware of it, like you make authorities aware of a situation, then authorities can act. Of course, Gary Gill will not act, but there are other people who are efficient workers that help.
Well, you know, it's possible that, you know, one of the reasons there could be a delay in reporting, and you could end up going out there. I think I'll go take some pictures of this today, and I'm going to report it to my boss. And when I get done, and then while you're there looking through your camera, you get hit upside the head with an iron pipe. You know, so it may be one of those factors that discourage you from coming forward right away. But if you, I know you say you join in late, and he had already disclosed that he had disclosed this information to the superintendent and many other people up the chain, down the chain, years back. So it is even so. Yes, let's say there is a delinquency and a delay in his civic duties to strap on his leotard suit and his cape, and then stand there and go, ta-da, got you. Maybe it was that time, but let's just be happy that he did it rather than questioning why. So the question is, now we know, what are we going to do? You know, are we going to let Gary Gill and we're going to let Neil Abercrombie get away with this one too because of the politics, or are we going to say, hey, you know, these surrounding homes, at a minimum, you can do what you want to do on your land, if that's the case. But, Neil, this is contrary to what your watershed management. See, he has this big plan in the program that protect the watershed. Now, Neil Abercrombie, as big as he is or as small as he is in frame, he should be all over this. Well, let's see. But just from there, out of the hole, you know.
Just to end it, Mr. Cox.
Yes, sir.
We all know what happens to whistleblowers. So,
hey, yeah.
On that.
Well, all right. But, you know, when we get a chance, Ed, let us just, you need support. I mean, who on this good earth would stand out there and assume the responsibility of a culture or community and the community sit back? You tell them now. You go get them.
You know, I'm not afraid of Goliath. Well, I am to a certain point, but I'm not too afraid to stand up for what is right. And this is the simple thing, mm-hmm. to be Pono, to stand up for the land.
Yeah.
Who else is doing it?
Yeah.
Nobody. Only me, Ronnie Kang, mm-hmm. to save you guys who are still working there.
Mm-hmm.
To save the whole schools.
Yeah.
What kind of an example are you giving
yeah.
the kids?
Yeah.
You know, are you nuts?
Caller, go ahead. You have a comment or question for Ronald and myself?
Hello?
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Homeless Denise out in Ina Point, trying to do my best to give glory and praise to the Ina. Your guest, thank you for speaking out. You know, as well as I do, that all those monkeys getting paychecks know exactly what's going on there.
Mm-hmm.
They all know.
Yeah.
That's the reason why you waited. I know. Hey, I did the same thing. You waited until they couldn't harm you to speak out. Because like you said, you had your pension to think about. How in the world were you able to get onto Earl Cox's show today and tell what you know? That they messed with you and your pension. They would have found any excuse. Last job I had, I was a whistleblower. I had a Filipino cook trying to boil water on me. A 2-foot by 2-foot vat.
Well, what difference does it make if he was Filipino?
I'm talking about. I understand it's parallel.
Denise.
It's parallel.
Let me just share. This is considered the love train.
I understand.
We don't need to know.
To be a love train when you got so many haters on board.
Thank
you for.
We don't need to know if the guy that snatched your purse was a black guy from Mississippi.
No, I'm telling you. The reason why they did it was to fire as many Americans as they could to get Filipinos to take our jobs.
Yeah, that's a fact. But
I
think they would use a worm to take your job if they could pay him less than you and make $1 billion.
This is the collective. I mean, I tried my best to go through the chain.
Well, let me say this to you, and I think if,
I understand the chain of command.
Well, you and I are going to have a long, hard talk. Let me just ask you this: you think that half your problems you could attribute to racism, correct?
And, all of them.
And the racist threat. So why in hell would you turn around and speak like a racist toward
resolving it? I'm not speaking like a racist.
I've got documents
to prove it.
I don't care. It's a human being that caused you the problem, and if you kept it and contained it in that context. But I note that each time you mention someone, if it's the policeman, it's the Filipino, or it's the Japanese.
It was a Filipino cop.
It don't matter.
I've got an acquittal and I don't want to go off topic.
No, I want to go. Because, see, this is the love train, girlfriend. This isn't about...
How can it be the love train with so many haters on board?
Yeah, well, but then you look like you're adding to the haters. I mean, that's what
I'm... No, I'm just keeping it real. You know, and if you want to say keeping it real is going wrong, so what?
No.
Yeah, I went through the court system. I mean, really, to have... Do you want to say that the local Hawaiians...
Well,
because they didn't come from the mainland and lie about me.
No.
They didn't come from the mainland and drag me out on the street.
Let me ask you this.
They didn't come from the mainland and steal my money.
Now, hold on. Now, you're going to start showing me that you're really not intending to be sensible about this. You just want to spout. Let me just ask you. You're watching the evening news. And they say,
I'm homeless. I don't have that access.
Well, whatever. You apparently have a phone or something. You can listen.
No, I want to talk to her.
Yeah. But what I would say to you is that let your heart rest for a bit. If the world is screwed up and everything is preferenced with race, why would you even embrace or incorporate such description? Okay, the evening news comes on. A black man robbed a bank. Well, okay, did you give me any other description, any specifics that would lend itself to capturing this criminal? So when you say a Filipino, quote, Filipino, boil some water for me and I'm going to pour on me. Okay, well, it could have been a black person. Who cares? Is it going to help you resolve that issue? So I put a little love in your heart and stay away from the description of race, because if you're complaining about a bigot's behavior, don't adopt his strategies and tactics and language to come win your fight. It reduces you to nothing.
See what you did to a whistleblower. Like I said, I have all the documentation.
I don't care if you have God's hand in your hand. I'm just.
Wow, that's I'm not standing next to you.
I'm just telling you that if you're going to try and fix a problem and complain about a quote racist system, then you can't keep preaching racism.
Racism makes classism easier.
Well,
that's all racism is.
Well, that depends on which side of the track you live on. I guess that's all. Ron, I want to talk to you.
Denise.
Yes.
First of all, thank you for supporting me on what my
I saw people abusing children.
Yeah.
And when I went to report it, that's when the hammer came down on me.
I'm sorry you didn't
survive. Stealing food from the mouths of babies.
Yeah.
Physically abusing them.
Let him finish.
Okay. Okay. And Denise, are you familiar with Ohikilolo Ranch?
Yes.
Mr. Silva? All those homeless that lived in the bushes there.
Mm-hmm.
One day we're harvesting emu stones, kiawe wood from the ranch, and mm-hmm. we had a whole. There must have been 100 of us working up there. And then one day we had a whole bunch of lunch left, and I asked Don, my director boss, can we give the homeless this? He said, oh yes, give them that. So we drove down there and distributed all these lunches to the people. And because we feel for you, little children, all that. So that's all I wanted to say.
Okay. You're talking to somebody who, when she did have a home, she was at the community board meetings championing. I mean, I was a champion trying to tell people, look, you can't have cops kicking tents over. This was back in 04.
Okay.
The first place I came to when I first moved here, because racist military members told everybody in the room, don't go to the Waianae Coast. They'll cut you. They'll steal everything from you. The first thing I did was come to the side where they told me not to come, because I understood the mindset of racists.
Yeah. Good.
And what did I find? I found love.
Yes.
All right.
When I lived out there, I saw a lot of love, and I experienced that from the people on the Waianae Coast. I used to live out there.
Okay. Well, anyway, Denise, we're going to let you go on this.
Right, but this is about the island. This is about legal dumping.
Right.
I understand.
Right. This is about humanity and all of the above.
And this is about the conduct of those who have paychecks and want to keep those paychecks to keep whistleblowers' mouths shut.
Well, he's blowing the whistle here, and we'll.
I know. Thank you very much.
Okay. Well, thank you, and we'll be back in the next hour or so. Hang in there, folks. And Ron, anything before we go this hour?
No, but keep those calls coming. I'll be glad to answer them as the best as I can.
524-1080. But, what difference does it make if someone stealing my furniture or coming in and robbing me? I don't think the cops know if he was Mexican-American, the black American. I mean, if it helps in capturing him, fine. But in general conversation, folks, let's, you know, let's refrain from that, because it's an illness that's pervasive and prevails. It's constantly amongst us, right? And where does it start? Where does it stop? So anyway, we're talking about the Kapalama campus and the illegal dump site, and we're going to talk about the need for permits and what have you, and just toss around anything. And hey, we noticed the death penalty. They blew that off, and which is a good thing in my opinion. But, you know, life is valuable, and unless you know how to give it back, you shouldn't be taking it. You know, just that simple. But we'll be back in the next hour. Thanks for listening.
For the second half of the Carol Cox Show, right after the news on KWAI Honolulu, K108.
Total system performance.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol. The following program is brought to you by Carol Cox. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KWAI staff and management.
Captain was drinking in the rain. Below the slave were locking chains. I can't be found, I cannot see, I cannot move, I cannot breathe. Jamestown, what have you done to me? God, and he don't know. taking me. Oh, Papa, sold to slavery. I can't be found. I cannot see. I cannot move. I cannot breathe. Brothers already gone. Others will be gone before too long. I don't know my name. I don't know this thing. I don't know their God.
Okay, welcome back to the Carol Cox Show, the second half. I played that so that all of us, if you know America and how great it is, there's some real threats as we know it. Maybe it's just my fear, but everything is coming to a point where it's all industrialized. The industrialists get the money. We're going to be, it's going to be us and them. And middle class, I think that, if such a thing existed, is going to go away as we know it. And we're going to see a whole different world right here on this place called America. And we're all threatened. The Supreme Court's acknowledges an entity, a business, a corporation as a person. I mean, you know, if you're religious, nowhere in the Bible it says that in 6 days he created heaven and earth and he rested on the seventh. But in that in creation, he created corporations. You know, so this is where are we headed with this thing? You've taken my name. I don't know my name. We're all enslaved now. At one time, some of us were enslaved. Now we're all enslaved. Your group of people that work up there, they're receiving the threats of potentially. I don't know the facts and what it, but some of the workers shared with me that just at the Kapalama community, the schooling up there, they're cutting back. They gave an estimate, and this is for them. I don't have any documentation other than we did go on the internet and pull up that showed that some of the jobs are being farmed out through Flick Compass Group, through Kamehameha Schools. But grounds people, 25 to 30. Custodial, 40 people. Trades, 20 people. Food service, 40. Transportation, 40 people. Approximately 200 people, they're saying, this is what the workers are saying, will be impacted. Caller, good morning. You have a comment or question?
Yes, Carol. I just want to congratulate you for being on all the Clear Channel communication stations this morning. You should wake up some of the people in Hawaii, how their politicians are reacting. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Hey, keep it up, please. Thank you.
All righty. Aloha.
Aloha.
Yeah, I was this morning. We did a not this morning. Okay. Not this morning, but on Friday, I did a pre-taping with Rick Hamada on the Community Matters. It aired this morning, actually at 7 o'clock. on the Clear Channel KHVH. And you can, if you're interested in hearing what the chatter is about, you're more than welcome to go to KHVH and listen in. And I can't actually speak in sentences, believe it or not, or make full paragraphs. When you probably see me on TV, I'm either pointing or, and maybe a few words. But I can speak in a complete sentence. And, you know, then you mix in the eubonics and all the other what's up and all that. Yeah, I come out with a pretty coherent sentence. So, but anyway, I enjoy that. And again, talking about my background and what my love is for the environment and people in general. But anyway, Carl, are you still there? Go ahead, Ronald. I got Ronald King here, who is a former employee with Kamehameha Schools, and he's here sharing with us. We were talking about the illegal dump site that was discovered and revealed. When that's kind of a strange thing. We don't discover it. If you already knew about it and the administration already knew about it, it really wasn't discovered. It was revealed to the rest of us, I should say.
yeah, it became an issue because the stream's going to plug up, create a dam, burst forth on one of these heavy rains up in the valley, and wipe out houses downhill, guarantee.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why this thing is so important. It's the public safety.
Yeah.
It's a violation of the Hawaiian values for that Hawaiian institution that's up there on Magic Mountain,
mm-hmm.
known as Kapalama.
Yeah. The thing is, it's very. I would. Would I be safe in describing it as a sacred place, a very an important place because of the concentration of Evie? And then the caves that are there and all of that, does this come close to desecration on their part to behave in such a fashion, to place that dump there knowing that it has an impact on the environment and as well of the sacredness of this site?
Oh, yes. This is so shameful. The amount of burial caves up there is tremendous. There were two teachers that always went hiking up way into the valley, and their purpose was these are two good men. One teaches pottery, the other one teaches painting. And I always liked them. I befriended them because I had to go work in their classrooms once in a while. But they were telling me about all these sites that are undocumented that they uncovered. He even mentioned about a huge cave with a canoe inside. This is royalty that were interned in these caves. But as a carpenter, they told me, can you make several urns for these caves over the years? So I do my best work, make it out of koa, use dovetail joinery and all this stuff because of its importance. And then they take the Evie, the bones, and put it back into the cave, call up the mason, and they'd seal up the caves. There's quite a few burial sites that these two guys uncovered in their explorations inside the valley behind the campus. You know, Kapalama, this is where the high chiefs were protected. And you know who said this? Mary Kavena Pukui, Samuel H. Elbert. These are historians and very important people in the Hawaiian language. It is sacred up there. What else? What else did you ask, Carol?
Yeah. Speaking of that area, now someone said, "Well, what were they doing with the trash before they?" And you spoke to it briefly. Underneath the football field of the sports arena, or the sports field now on Kamehameha School, Kapalama campus, there used to be a landfill there, correct?
Yes.
And what happened to that landfill? Did they leave things in place, or did they remove all the contents?
They removed all the contents. I saw them remove it. And they took it to the dump site in Waimanalo Gulch, which is in Kapolei, and dumped it there.
Mm-hmm.
Tons of stuff. I remember the trucks being lined up, hauling it all off. They had to do this because the contractor, he couldn't guarantee his work on compaction. He had to, I don't know what the percentage of compaction was. Residential home lots is 100% of the original, you know, compaction. But he had to make it solid so that you wouldn't have any sinkholes in the future on the football field. And all of that stuff was removed. Mm-hmm. But now, where are we going to dump the plants and stuff? They had to create another one, which they did.
Well, and with that, and we're probably going to draw a conclusion on the landfill and in that issue, but you need a permit. The landfill needs to be done, operated in such a fashion that you certain burial, if you certain coverage. But no landfills are allowed. The state health department, the landfills that are allowed is there's one at Waimanalo Gulch. There is one at Nanakuli. The military has one on Kaneohe Marine Base. And they basically phase out all. In the old days, you could get a permit and have your own landfill pretty much. And they spotted and dotted the whole island community here. You know, if you wanted one, you could just get a permission and burn and bury. But with this, the elevation of this, and again, and I'm not going to beat a dead horse, but if you look at it from the aerial photos and what have you, it's a ravine. If any of that, and it's not mounted on the wall properly or as if you would in compaction, if that stuff starts to slough off and then heavy rain running down the road, you're going to get potentially a collapse that will probably result in the death of many a people, not to mention the campus community population. But and I don't think there's a warning because there's no. In essence, it's going to be a Jimmy Pfluger situation again.
Absolutely.
You know, and we all know about that. And if you don't believe that water in large quantities at high velocity going down gradient is a feature to behold, it's a. I mean, it can carve and matter. I mean, moving boulders. And so what happens is that what we don't understand the physics of it, not from our standpoint, but the elementary standpoint is simple. When you see those boulders and all of that being displaced and in a torrential downpour and it start to roll downhill, those boulders start to serve as would be hydraulic plucking or plucking. Those boulders start to knock loose other boulders that are wedged in down below and striking. And it would be the equivalent of sandblasting, in a sense, because of the impact and the gravity fed and the rolling. So I'm not describing it as the physics of it completely, but I've seen where you see a dislodging of some boulders that are loosely placed. And once they start rolling, they become grinders.
Right.
And I'm digging into the sides and the water helping it cut. And it can happen in a matter of an hour.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't even know. There's no warnings, no nothing. So for the administration to blow it off as if it's someone's toll on them and what have you, They may not allow you back on the campus to cut the boles or the core wood or to help the children, but they still got the problem.
That's right. And they better take care of it real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Don't blame me for blowing you out of your seat, because that's what's going to happen. Don't blame me. I'm just living by the ancient law, Malama Aina. You should know that. They should know that.
Do what's right.
Do what's right.
And these are keiki, and I mean, it's a school, but the health department, now, here's their normal practice. They hate to receive a call from me, first of all. They think it has become, oh my God, we got to cover up something again. They don't, you know, most people say, oh my God, we got to go do some work. These guys, health department, oh my God, we got to, okay, start up the cover-up machine again. This is the mindset. I'm serious. It's like, you know, they don't want details. And then when you ask, well, can the media accompany you to see what, oh, no, because that's a right of entry and we can't do this. Well, we understand that. Can you then take pictures and share those? I mean, well, is it constitutionally sound to go up with the camera? Well, make that information available, because it does pose a threat to the safety of the community, the surrounding houses and property and life. So this group of health department folks, led by Neil Abercrombie, who appointed Gary Gill. I mean, if you see how they lied and covered up and drug their feet on the molasses and the landfill and all the other things, imagine what they're going to do for Kamehameha schools.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, yeah. Let's put a blanket around this so the public can't see or hear anything, and let's block, don't answer any questions. It's on the investigation. Even though it'll take another 1,000 years to investigate, the public will be left in the dark.
That's nonsense. And I understand how all these political figures can be beholden to the Kamehameha Schools Bishop of State, because there's a lot of perks you can get for free.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a matter of being right, doing what's right. Mm-hmm. And it goes beyond any political views or what you can get. And and don't blame me for sending up that helicopter and taking all those pictures. You don't own the sky above the dump.
Well, you know, if you have any problems, if you notice they give you a hard time, and you're up there trying to help the kids and cut up, and there's not much we can promise, but we sure can stand by your side and get the word out and bring some attention to them. If they try and deny you what you normally are entitled to. I mean, it's their property. We know that. But we can also know what's being mean-spirited or not. And the next question I would have is, what else are they hiding?
Yeah. What else are they hiding?
You know.
Hang on.
Caller, go ahead. You have a comment, a question?
I just thank you very much, and also for the person you have. Excellent. Thank you very much. Bye.
All right. Thank you. Go ahead. You were going to finish your comment there.
Oh, I forgot what I was going to say.
We're both getting old, huh?
Yeah, that's right. That's what I blame it on.
But you know, the board, you were talking about, this is off subject, but you've actually ridden the big waves at Waimea with...
No. I didn't ride those waves at Waimea.
But you surfed them.
I surfed on that Alaya board when I was a kid. I borrowed one from my neighbor. He didn't know what to do with it, so he used to let me borrow it. And at that time, I lived in Lanikai, so I used to put a towel over my head, put the board on top, and weighed about 70 pounds, put it on my head, walked down to the beach, and paddled out to the reef. And that's where I learned to surf. And I'd be out there all alone. Surfing wasn't too popular. It wasn't It wasn't popular in those days.
Mm-hmm.
And then I learned to surf on that board. It was made out of balsa strips that were about inch and a half wide,
mm-hmm.
and there were 11 redwood stringers that gave it its strength.
Mm-hmm.
And but now, years after that, I'm helping in the process of making these boards for the little children.
There at the school, and where else?
Pardon?
Where are these children from? Are they at the school or?
They're going to start up a program to make these Alaya boards, but mm-hmm. I've already started by helping this organization called Malama Ukekai of Waimanalo, which is a school for high-risk kids.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just amazing what they turned out with primitive ads and their own hands and being so young and turn out something so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
They made their own Poi Pounder boards. What else are they going to make? Poi Pounder boards, Alaya surfboards. And they got something. Oh, they're going to carve their own canoe out of a solid log.
Mm-hmm.
And that log has been provided by me to them.
All right. But where did the core wood logs come from that were stored up there at one time?
It's stored up there. Recently came on campus about 4 days ago before this whole thing blew out.
And where were they stored?
They put it next to that dump.
Okay.
But I told them to move it way back, it uphill where I can bring the sawmill in and cut it over there. And then all this koa came from Kamehameha School's land in Kawailoa, which is next to Haleiwa.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, they were clearing, tree clearing, and then these things were lying on the ground for, I don't know, looked like 2 years. But now they've salvaged it. The groundspeople salvaged it and helped to put it there so that for the kids to use.
And there's no chance of them burying that. There would be a waste if they were to.
No, and it's not only that. It's stealing. That's not their wood, and it's not near the dump at all. Yes, those pictures you have. That's the way I remember it when I left the schools.
Is that the core logs that you talk about there?
This is these logs here are
Norfolk, or what are they?
What they call Cook Island pine.
Okay.
And there was a giant log up there. It was kind of too big for the capacity of my machine.
Mm-hmm.
This was Cuban mahogany, which is very valuable wood.
Mm-hmm. And then what happened to that?
I don't know. They're all gone now. I can imagine what happened to that. I wasn't there to see it.
Think it was pushed over the edge?
Yeah. The easiest thing to do is just throw them over the edge.
Mm-hmm. So, these photographs show a bunch of bricks and tile. Was that, they've been there for a while?
Yeah.
More than, that's what puzzled me. If they were removing a tree, why didn't they see these things sitting out in the open for years?
Because they're lying.
Okay.
That's why.
Okay. But anyway, that's what, and I see lots of cement look like from sidewalks and what have you.
Removed.
What about the people, trucks coming in? For years I'd heard that truckers that were working up there would actually short haul and take loads of dirt from other sites that may have been contaminated.
Yeah.
And then driving up, they may be trucking for the contractor on school campus, but had access through the back gate to go up and dump dirt. Is there any truth to that?
Yes. I wouldn't doubt that. Mm-hmm. I've seen private contractor trucks up there.
Dumping.
I didn't have time to stop and go see what they were doing. But, yeah.
So this was... Yeah,
because why not? It's free.
Right, and you don't have to pay tipping fees and what have you. Okay. And these pictures show an old boiler. How long has that boiler been there?
I see the picture, I'll give you the...
Okay.
Oh, this one has been here a long time.
Is that a boiler or is that a tank, water tank?
This is like a... This is like a giant water tank they took out someplace.
Mm-hmm.
But at any event, it doesn't belong there. With all that, the lower picture has a bunch of concrete slabs and reinforcing bar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In the background, there's pipes.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, that's just the way it is. If you guys want to, you're interested in following this, I think there's a lot of dissension up there regarding the employment and what have you, we've learned. And there's one story where one former worker, prior to leaving, lost, and again, I don't have the documents in front of me, but I'm conveying to you some of the hoo-hoo that's occurring or being bantered about up there amongst the workers they've shared with me. One person lost approximately $700 in their retirement, in their pension. So they're concerned that they signed on for one deal, and now the new deal is afoot, and that's what they've expressed with me. Now, I haven't spoken with management. I'm only speaking about the workers and what they've conveyed. But if you go to Indeed.com, you can find or Google Flick Compass Group, and you'll see that they advertise in here for independent school dining, and they'll give Hawaii. If you listen or look, here's one, school-based jobs employment in Waipahu, Hawaii, and on Indeed.com. Jobs 1 through 10 of 323 sponsored by Kamehameha Schools 9 days ago. Senior chef manager. Flick Independent School Dining Job, Compass Group USA, 636 Review. Anyway, you can look under that and you can see that they speak directly with Kamehameha Schools. Caller, good morning. Go ahead, comment a question.
Yes, good morning. I know this is a little off the subject you're talking about, but I heard someplace on the radio that that our governor was not going to require pile driving on the big tall buildings on Kaka'ako. And, you know, we always hear them toppling over in India and places like that caving in. Does he have that authority that he could not allow pile driving?
You're talking about the current governor?
Yes, I just heard that on the radio. You know, I listen to the radio all the time. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh my goodness, but he, you know, if some apartment building toppled over, the company, the builder would be sued, but they said, well, we had permission that we didn't have to do any pile driving.
Mm-hmm.
And they said maybe along over there could be all kinds of things underground that nobody knows about.
Well, yeah, I think this governor, when you say, does he have a right to do it, don't tell him he has a right to do anything. He does anything he wants to do it, because you know how this Neil works. I mean, even though he's part of the Democratic Party, nothing democratic about his processes and thought processes, clearly. So, but, you know, and Neil would probably have an answer for that if one of those buildings did collapse. Or he would call it an economic crash.
Well, it just worries me because I tell you, I like him for many reasons. My life has changed because of a lot of good laws he's passed.
Well, good for you. But then don't worry about the falling. Forgive him for the things that he do wrong. Then don't. I have no answers for you as to how do you deal. If he's that good, then I would say just forgive him for his missteps.
Okay, well, you're so good at things.
I don't know what else to tell.
Because it's scary, to, you know. Well, anyway, I just said, if anybody knows, Carol would know.
Well, pile driving, I mean, some areas down there, it's so the loosely gel-like or gelatinous substance, when you drive it, the piling just goes straight down.
Yeah, that's... Well, I'm concerned.
And then, you know, does it impact the aquifer? Who knows? But again, I don't know what to tell you, because you remember Kaka'ako in that area, they exempted it anyway, right, from all the city rules and the height levels and what have you, so...
You've gone crazy over there with that they're planning.
Well, yeah, I don't know, without being a jackass here and making comments about it, but I just, that's why I say, when it comes to Neil, I'm careful to speak now about whether to praise him or wave him on, because just things happen so quick, and we're having a forest of high rises going up.
I know, right? It's unbelievable. They pop up overnight, it seems like.
Andy Anderson tried to get himself a Ferris wheel down at Kaka'ako, and they told him it was too high for the airplane, brother.
Oh, my goodness.
And then Neil comes along, and hell with all that. I'm Neil Abercrombie. You know who I am? I'm Neil. Get out of my way. And then he put everybody, Anthony Ching and Malama, whatever, Tayshia Malama, and all those guys that... They wake up in the morning, they go to his house and office and lick his hand and then kiss his hand and ring and then go and do his deed. So call them up and ask them what do they think. They're the ones who approve that.
Yeah, you know, I will, because I'm concerned, you know, for people who are going to live in it later and then have something cave in.
I don't know. It scares me. Well, let me back up. There's no sense to any of this, okay? If you want my personal opinion, we're debating whether to situate President Obama's library there or something, right in that area too, Kaka'ako.
Yeah, I don't want that library.
Well, you know, I think for our native son, it's consistent. And how thoughtful we are about our native sons, and that is, you know, the Kaka'ako, that whole park area there, and you know that was a landfill.
Ooh.
And you know that those hills there is just stuff that is buried, and they were just too cheap and didn't give a damn about the environment and decided we'll take the cheapest way out and bury it and cover it with grass, and then you see kids slide down the hill. Well, that whole area now, mind you, and that children's center, that tower there,
yeah. That
was the incinerator.
Oh,
and
goodness.
So in those days and times, and I've spoken with people that actually work there, and they talk about the untold hundreds and thousands of barrels of you know and don't know and what is buried there. So, and then not to forget, just adjacent to that is land. There's a shipbuilder, right, that's been there for pumping out chemicals and what have you. And then the bus barn that was... now paved now because it's a brown site or whatever, brownfield site. Isn't that a nice place, a nice way to treat your native son who become the American president?
Yeah, that's kind of sad.
So, hey, the towers are just, you know, icing on the cake. We'll look at the towers as being candles for the president.
Oh, my. Well, it's kind of sad. You know, if I were Hawaiian, I'd probably be weeping all the time when I see what's happening.
But as an American, you should be screaming and crying and weeping, because we go around preaching this stuff, man. Well, let's do right by the little guy. Right?
Right.
And so we have a greater reason to cry than the Hawaiians do, because we are living a lie.
I guess so.
You know, and that's the problem. And we sit back and we let it unfold. We have Caldwell, Abercrombie, and who are these other guys trying to get in office with these promises? And none of them, they will all fall in line. When they hear that purse string loosen up, they're all going to do the same thing. None of them. The Hanabuses, the Shats, the Hiranos. Is she still around, or is she still actively participating in our government?
I think so. I read about it every now and then.
Rarely. I don't know. Is she still around, or is she still on planet? I don't know. I just. But, you know, look at all of this unfolding and developing. And my comment to all of us, and I'm a Democrat, okay, I make that declaration, but do you realize how much nonsense has been placed at our doorstep under the Democratic Party?
Mm-hmm.
The degradation of the environment, the resistance or the refusal to draw the Hawaiian independent issue to closure, all of that. Every year,
that bothers me too.
Yeah, it's a sad, sad occasion.
Mm-hmm. Goes on and on.
Yeah, we owe it to the
energy and time, you know, expended.
Yeah, and but now remember, now this is a Democratic Party controlled government. So, are we going to continue on this pathway to be duped by this group of guys that claim and girls that claim that they're doing so much for America in the democratic process and the democratic way? Are we going to allow that? I mean, where is our outrage? So that's what's painful for me, and I don't even want to know how hurtful it is to the Hawaiians, but for me to see that we mass troops at different borders and say we're going to protect your interests, truth, righteousness, and justice, and all of that, and then right here we have conflicting practices.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. That's just me now. Don't go away and know I'm not going to put on my Black Panther banner and go nuts. I just tell you the way it is, right?
Well, I'm grateful for you and your program.
Well, thank you. And let me get another caller here. The lights, it's Christmas time.
Thank you for
thank you.
The call.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Good morning, caller. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Thank you for taking my call. The four entities in Kaka'aku are, of course, the state and the city. But the biggest landowners are the Kamehameha schools and Howard Hughes. My question might be, how long ago did Howard Hughes acquire this property, and what were their intentions from the beginning?
Mm-hmm.
I'll listen to a response if you can. Thank you.
I really would like to have some people come and talk with us about that, because I don't know anything about the Howard Hughes. I just know they're huge.
Can I explain something?
Yeah, go ahead.
Months ago, I was at a meeting at the city council, and it was with the Hart of Grabowskis and all of them, and part one was how much progress they had made with the development of the rail. I'm not trying to change the subject. And anyway, part two on the screen PowerPoint was Howard Hughes. And I waited and waited as they discussed everything, and then it was over. And Howard Hughes was never mentioned. And so I called legislators, called newspaper, trying to get information. This is months ago about Howard Hughes. And of course, I am conspiratorial, thinking that this is all a diabolical plan that goes back many years. And of course now Howard Hughes is very prominent. So once again, the four entities in Kaka'aku are the state and the city. How did they get the land acquisition? State and the city. Who are they? Kamehameha Schools and Howard Hughes Corporation. And of course, Howard Hughes Corporation is huge.
Yeah.
And so is Kiewit, and so is all the developers. The DiPaolo, DiBartolo were the ones that owned the 49ers.
DiBartolo.
Bartolo, correct. Excuse me, Bartolo. But I'd appreciate any comment you might make. Thank you.
Aloha. Thank you. Caller, go ahead. Comment or question?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead with your comment or question.
My comment is, you keep talking about the Democratic Party, that Hawaii is a Democratic state. The Republicans need the Democrats, the Democrats need the Republicans. You know, they point fingers at each other when they want to get reelected. The thing is, when they're behind closed doors, just like with Hanabusa and John Garibaldi and the Super Ferry, and the Attorney General of the state of Hawaii, when they're back in the back room, come out to cameras,
they claim attorney-client privilege when that attorney general works for the people. It doesn't matter if they're Democrat or Republican. They're going to do what they're going to do.
Well, I think we're on the same sheet. It's I was just more specific to say that under this government that it's been Democratic, and there lends itself to a longer, a greater discussion, not to say you should go and vote or listen to what the Republicans say. It is just, here's the big question. How is it that they preach, they being the Democratic Party, the liberal thinkers, they're worried about the environment, they're worried about the welfare of the people, they're worried about all of that, the economic welfare of the nation and all. And yet in this state, we see things occurring that there is no democracy, that you don't have participation, that you don't know how these buildings are agreed and how Howard Hughes and DiBartolo and all, but you see that they had meetings and what have you. That's the point I'm trying to make. I mean, it's multifaceted.
And I reiterate, racism makes classism easier. Every single one of them has the big bucks.
Yeah, well.
Every single one of them got the big bucks.
Yeah,
it's all about compartmentalizing.
Well,
the left of the middle class.
The color is green nowadays.
That's there you go. There's racism.
Okay, ecosystem, economics, so, the buck. Okay, well, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, there's so much to be said about all of this, you know, Ron, and where do you start? And it goes back to, I look at our democratic process, our elections were flawed, our political how to elect people, and that system was flawed. We have our ethics department that is flawed and basically criminal in its way within the city. I mean, that agency is just sitting there to screen any whistleblowers and beat the hell out of them and threaten and convey to them a message and to the onlookers that if you dare cross the line like this person, nothing's going to happen to the parties you're reporting, but we'll chew you up. So you take that agency, then you take the campaign spending commission. Some people can be hung out to dry, and others, they get hung out to lie. You see, they'll hang out lies for them and cover for them. Unless we put a stop to this as voters, we can quit whining, quit whimpering, and just, you know, shut up and live with it, right? I mean, but because you don't see any action. You don't see anything. You hear people complaining and not to be attacking the listeners or what have you, but to say, you know, when you come forward and says, what took you so long? Well, I don't know. But the system can chew you up. As they say, and I've learned they have a description here, is that the nail that sticks out gets pounded, you know. And why would anybody want to take the risk of sticking their neck out for the sake of the community when the community, as you're helping them, they're walking you by and you ask them, where are you going? Oh, we're going to hang out with the governor. Oh, that's funny. You were just warning me and telling me I better be careful. Now I see why I should be careful, because you're cohorting with the governor. You're going to his parties and hanging out and campaigning and waving signs. What's in it for you, right? So it's that that mindset. And I've come to learn that if something is as simple as getting a vote, you can do something as simple as this. Stand on a street corner and wave, and people will vote for you. To hell with navigating the traffic. You know, I mean, driving in this town is already is a struggle, right? And we driving in this traffic, and okay, I got to make a left. Oh God, I got to get over here. Ooh, let me avoid that pothole and all of that. And then you still have time to look at that person and make an assessment, a logical assessment, that you're going to vote for them because they're standing out there waving at you. It doesn't say much about our intellect. But, you know, I mean, you would think we'd be like, the hell with you. I wouldn't vote. All these potholes in this street as bad as it is, and you have the nerve to come out here and stand alongside of this road. you know what I mean? So we shouldn't expect much from our politicians if that's all they got to do is stand on the street corner and wave while you got no time to really pay attention. You can't even read their signs because you're focusing on the poorly managed traffic lights. You know, all of this. It's unreal. And so I'm starting to think that Hawaii is a study for the rest of the world. You know, tell them, here, let's take the truth and mix it in. Let's take justice and mix it in. Let's take democracy and put it in. And let's then put it in a blender and see. And let's be liberal at our import of everything else. And, you know, let's cover all the ag land. Let's do all of that. Mix it up and see what we get. And then from here, we've learned it's the proving ground. They'll know how to screw the voter on the mainland because they know what works here in Hawaii, how we get to get the highest rates and fuel, highest rates in kilowatts, highest rates in sewage, highest, you follow? Increase after increase. So what do we do? I know I'm getting 10, 15 texts on the, I can't answer the text. I'm a slow typer, and I wish I could answer some of those out, you know, some of the calls, the texts. But anyway, Ron, anything, we're going to be closing down, and you got any comment before you?
The voyage around the world by the Hokulea, and their motto is, let me see if I can read it here.
Malama?
Malama Honua. Take care of the world. These men and women are going to circle our planet. And I heard from some of these guys on board the Hokulea, they're going to chance them. They're going to go around the Cape of Good Hope. Nobody does that in their right mind. But they don't know the Hawaiians. They're going with this simple message to take care of the world. I don't know. They're just going to talk. That's the heroes today. That's my hero anyway. They sacrifice so much, chance them so much, but they're willing to do that. But I always knew that the Polynesian navigators went far distances to Japan, China, and they came back all alive. Where I live, on the Kaelipulu stream, it wasn't called Kaelipulu long ago, but where I live, there were famous navigators who were brought up over there. And they're credited for going to the Aleutian Islands from Kailua Beach, went to the Aleutian Islands. I asked some modern day sailors if this is possible. They said, oh yes, all you got to do is catch the North Pacific high. Once you're in that wind, it'll take you not only to the Aleutians, but all the way to the coast of Oregon, up and down the California coast. Very mm-hmm. possible. Okay, that's only my thoughts.
Yeah. But anyway, thank you for coming and joining me here. But they went to Oregon, and I can't remember, there's a town in Oregon named after some
maybe,
of them.
Maybe Kalama.
Kalama. And was it because of the whaling also? And
yeah.
Yeah. So Hawaiians have made great contributions to navigation but, I mean, even the military, the United States military, the Hawaiians have played a great role in that over the years. And we don't see any any recognition. There should be a grand recognition of the number of Hawaiian men and women that have served. I mean, served, fighting, pulling the trigger on behalf of America.
Oh, yeah.
But we see the 442, we see the Korean monument, we see, and now we're trying to get an African-American monument. But when will the Hawaiian in its own country be recognized for its contribution? I'm making more trouble for you.
No, but they should do it. I mean, you got Pililaau Park on the Waianae Coast in memory of Sergeant Pililaau, and a Congressional Medal of Honor.
Mm-hmm.
There's others. Spark, no, not Matsunaga. He might be one of them, but Dan Inouye, or as they say, Inouye.
Mm-hmm.
He's a fighting hero.
Yeah. But anyway, that was a few points there, you know. And so, guys, thank you for joining in. We're down to the last couple of seconds, and we'll see you next week, and we'll be talking about other things. And again, feel free to call in next week, and you can go and pick this up at carol@carolcox.com. Hope to see you next week. And Ronald King, thank you, and we'll keep following up on the Kapalama campus. Thank you.
Aloha.
Aloha.
That was good. That was the next.
This has been the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week, Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI Honolulu.